Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 3rd chapter, text 15 through 17, given on January 21st, 1995, at Gidanagri.
Translation. The Mahat Tattva, the total material energy, is undivided, but because of the material modes of nature, it appears to separate into earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Because of the living energy, Jiva Bhuta, these separated energies combine to make the cosmic manifestation visible. But in fact, before the creation of the cosmos, the total energy is already present. Therefore, the total material energy never actually enters the creation. Similarly, although you are perceived by our senses because of your presence, you cannot be perceived by the senses, nor experienced by the mind or words. Avan manasa gochara. With our senses, we can perceive some things, but not everything. For example, we can use our eyes to see, but not to taste. Consequently, you are beyond perception by the senses. Although in touch with the modes of material nature, you are unaffected by them. You are the prime factor in everything, the all-pervading, undivided supersoul. For you, therefore, there is no external or internal. You never entered the womb of Devaki. Rather, you existed there already. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This same understanding is explained by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta mortina matstani sevabhutani nachaham teshu avastita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not perceivable through the gross material senses. It is said that Lord Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, etc., cannot be understood by material senses. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance is he revealed. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valo Chanena Santaksa Daiva Rideyeshu Vulukayanti. One can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within oneself and outside oneself if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude toward him. Thus, for people in general, he is not visible. In the above mentioned verse from Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is said that although he is all pervading, everywhere present, he is not conceivable by the material senses. But actually, although we cannot see him, everything is resting in him. As discussed in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the entire material cosmic manifestation is only a combination of his two different energies, the superior spiritual energy and the inferior material energy. Just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation, and everything is resting in that energy. Yet one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such arguments, the Lord says, I am everywhere, and everything is in me, but still I am aloof. For example, a king heads a government, which is but the manifestation of the king's energy. The different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king, and each department is resting on the king's power. But still one cannot expect the king to be present in every department personally. That is a crude example. Similarly, all the manifestations that we see and everything that exists, both in this material world and in the spiritual world, are resting on the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The creation takes place by the diffusion of his different energies, and as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, he is everywhere present by his personal representation, the diffusion of his different energies. There are three more paragraphs in the purport, and I always like to compare the Krishna book rendition to Prabhupada's verse-by-verse rendition in Srimad Bhagavatam. And when looking in the Krishna book, I saw that Prabhupada has taken three paragraphs from the Krishna book and placed them here. So we'll read them. And the first two paragraphs are Prabhupada expressing, within quotation marks, the mind of Vasudev. In a very interesting way that he expresses himself, or the way Srila Prabhupada expresses Vasudev, as to how he can accept the fact that Krishna, although just born from Devaki, as they have seen, is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead as described in this philosophical way. One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. To eradicate this argument, Vasudeva said, "My dear Lord, it is not very wonderful that you appeared within the womb of Devaki, for the creation was also made in that way. You were lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and by your breathing, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Then again you expanded yourself as Kshiradakshay Vishnu and entered into the heart of all living entities and entered even within the atoms. Therefore your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. The total material energy remains intact, even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but a combination of the five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created, but actually the elements are always existing outside the body. Similarly, although you appear as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are always existing outside. You are always in your abode. But still, you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms." And going on, this is still Vasudev. "One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence, because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of the sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the three modes of material energy, but actually the three modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it." Unquote. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence and therefore everything is illuminated. We can understand from Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman effulgence, emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord. And from the Brahman effulgence, all creation takes place. It is further stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is the support of the Brahman effulgence. Originally, he is the root cause of everything, but persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within this material world, he accepts material qualities. Such conclusions are not mature, but they are made by the less intelligent. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavani Pastatari Satarani. Rather long and philosophical or technical, but the points being made are actually simple, provided we accept them with that submissive oral reception. So the setting is the prison house of Kamsa, and the occasion is Krishna's birth, and Vasudev is making his prayers. Of course, this is simultaneously a peaceful, a glorious occasion, and an occasion of anxiety and danger in the minds of Vasudev and Devaki, because they know Kamsa has been killing all the children of their union, and so now this child he'll certainly come to kill. This is the eighth child that was predicted. So they're afraid for the life of the Lord. So the Lord first appeared in his four-armed form to assure them that he was Vishnu and could not be killed. But then he appeared as a child. In an earlier purport, Vasudeva's mind is described nicely. It says, within Vasudeva's heart, affection for his son and knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature both awakened. So, out of affection, he was afraid. But then because of this transcendental knowledge that he has, he became fearless. We may ask, how does Vasudeva know all these things? One answer is that all respectable members of Vedic society were educated by Brahmins in Shastra, and this is Brahma Shabda. This is the understanding of creation, of Vaishnavism, of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, when he is Vasudeva, the person or the place where the Lord appears. He is pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. So how could he be in ignorance of the Lord's position? And then when the Lord appeared, he became enlightened completely. So the affection and the knowledge were going on simultaneously. Now, the main point he's making is that by his transcendental knowledge, he knows that the Supreme Lord is all-pervading. And yet here he is, one person appearing as his child. So we see him as a child, but we don't see him as all-pervading. So this is a little strange, that someone is everywhere, and yet you can't see him. So, why is it? How is it possible? So it's possible because the Supreme Lord does not reveal this mysterious understanding to everybody, only to those who are qualified. The sense perception is not the criteria that doesn't disprove him, like the materialists say. Well, the Shastras say God is all-pervading, but I don't see him anywhere. I looked here, I looked there. I don't see him. You don't see him with your eyes, or you don't hear him, whatever. But senses are not the criteria for discovering him. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graham Indriya. With the blunt senses, you can't see Krishna as a person, and you can't understand his energies as all-pervasive as him. So this is not really a disqualification of Krishna, but rather of ourselves, that he's all-pervading, and yet we don't know him. If you put the burden on ourselves, where it belongs, then the amazement goes on. How could we be so stupid or foolish that he's all-pervading and we can't see him? Rather than challenge God, if you're all-pervading, why can't I see you? Yes, why can't you see me? That's what I want to know. You're such a mudha. I'm everywhere. There's so much proof of my existence and still you can't see me? The beginning transcendentalists, by practice of meditation, they go beyond material sense perception and they gain awareness that the eternal spirit is all-pervading, but then they conclude that he's just spread out as an impersonal field and he could not be separate as a person. And if there's any person who comes as Vishnu or Krishna, then he must be another person like us. And that's another foolishness. Therefore, experience here is not so important, but getting knowledge from Shastra. I was discussing with one person about spiritual life in correspondence, and he said, the important thing is not just to exchange some words of theology, but what you actually experience. Whatever you experience subjectively, that is, at least it's a part of reality. So I agreed that the subjective experience is part of reality, but to give such weight to experience is not the Vedic process, because it's so limited what we can experience of God. So we take the process rather that the absolute truth is very great, it can be understood by purified persons, and it's contained in the Shastras. I begin to hear it. I can gain knowledge by hearing the absolute truth. My experience is not absolute, it's not unlimited, and so on. That humble position before Krishna's speaking in the Shastra and the teachings of the Acharyas in Parampara, that is the real way. So, beginning the purport, Prabhupada says, the same thing is described in the Bhagavad Gita in 9.4. Here, Krishna's father is explaining it, and when Krishna grows up, so to speak, then he speaks it, although it's originally his teaching. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we might say there is the advantage of more directly with the full authority of the Lord himself. So that verse, by me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Krishna calls this his yoga aishvarya, his mystic opulence. That he could do this is another evidence that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Be simultaneously all-pervading and yet have a completely separate, full personhood. That personhood is even supreme over the all-pervading nature, is the source of it, and is in no way depleted or affected by the material or spiritual expansions. This is we appreciate Krishna when we hear his amazing, inconceivable potencies that he has. And this can only be done, as we said, from Shastra. How are you going to experience Krishna? By some natural method or speculation? Things like this, beyond speculation, they cannot... By speculation, you cannot understand it. Prabhupada comments that Krishna's being able to maintain everything by energies shouldn't be thought of that he's like the Greek hero or demigod Hercules, Atlas, who you see a picture of holding up the globe on his back. But Krishna does this in an inconceivable, effortless way. Therefore, his separate personality, when we see him, someone may see by the Greek story, I want to see that person who is so powerful that he is holding up the earth. So yes, we'll grant you the darshan. Here he is. And then you see, tremendously muscular man holding up, which perhaps makes sense. He must be very strong. But he's also straining. But when we say, by the process, I want to see that person who is behind everything. Then we see, what's he doing? He's just playing. He's playing his flute, he's playing with his friends in Vrindavan. That's much more powerful than Atlas. The same description is also given in other places. I'd like to refer to one more. In the third of the Chatur Shlok, in the second canto, the same thing is described. O Brahma, Lord Krishna is speaking, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I'm outside of everything. So this is a comparison. And these material elements, like the sky and water and earth and fire, they exist, well, the verse today says they exist first in undifferentiated way as mahatattva. But even if you consider them as separate elements, they, I think of them as like in some huge storehouse of universal air, universal earth, and like that. They're not being employed in any... they're not broken down or taken from and put together again to form a body or anything else. They just exist in storage. But when there's need for a body, various bodies, then that storage is drawn from, and a human being is made, a tree is made, and so on, by these different combinations. But the original storage just remains as it is. And then after that body is broken down, it goes back. Earth goes back to earth, air goes back to air, like that. So it exists. The elements always exist outside of the creation. They themselves don't come in total, but they're taken from, and then it's returned again. So this is the universal nature, but it's also used here as an example to try to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna. So he's in the same way. He exists in his original form, which is like the storage of the elements, or like the mahatattva, untouched, apart from. But when there's a need, he comes in an expanded form into the material world, but that doesn't affect his unlimited nature outside of it. This is, in this second canto, in explaining this, Prabhupada again and again uses the word mystery. Now, this is mysterious. The existence outside and the fact that everything inside is also the Lord. If we just hold this in our minds for a little while, it's not so difficult. But when you hold it in your minds, it expands your mind, it purifies your mind, and you gain appreciation for Krishna. Without this, if you just look at Krishna and the gopis, then you'll think, he's a very beautiful young man. Maybe you'll think, I don't believe there's such a young man. Or it looks like he's lusty, he's got so many girlfriends. But when you understand that everything is his existence in the material worlds, in the spiritual worlds, and yet he's so charmingly, relaxedly apart from it all, and you say, he's the most mysterious and amazing, and the potency is amazing. So whatever he does is certainly free of taint. Or, I cannot understand. As Lord Brahma says, I cannot understand your pastimes. Anyone who says he can understand, that's all right. He can talk like that. But I do not understand. You're so inconceivable. Prabhupada writes, the mystery is transcendental love of Godhead. One who is surcharged with such transcendental love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom and every movable or immovable object. You can't see anyone else like that. You may imagine like that. You could even imagine your boyfriend or girlfriend when they're gone, that you could see them everywhere you turn. Well, that's a kind of subjective experience of love, but it's not based on fact. It's just your madness of love that you see your beloved in everywhere you turn. But the love of seeing Krishna everywhere, that's the fact. And you love, oh, he's so great. And you don't only see him in this world, but you see him in the spiritual world. So the devotee, he's got inconceivable potency too. But how could he see the Lord in the spiritual world if the devotee is in the material world? The answer is given here. The universal elements are both within and without. Similarly, the Lord's name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, etc., as they are described in the revealed scriptures, or as performed in the Vaikuntha lokas, far, far beyond the material cosmic manifestation, are factually being televised in the heart of the devotee. The man with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand, although by material science one can see things far away by means of television. Factually, the spiritually developed person is able to have the television of the kingdom of God always reflected within his heart. The more technology develops, these examples become more understandable to people. Such great feats of communication and transference of images and knowledge are attainable. So why not make the ultimate leap, not by technology, but by spiritual development and be able to see God in the kingdom of God by a television within your heart. That television is activated or turned on by Krishna. Madhava Das now has a job with Cellular Sprint, the phones. His job is, he said, an activation department, that if somebody applies for the phone, he checks out their credit on the computer. If their credit is good, then he activates their phone and it begins to work. So by the spiritual television, you apply. If your devotional credits are good, then Krishna turns on the television in your heart. And you can see. You can see everything there, and you can see everything in the material world as Krishna. I like this example that Prabhupada gives as Vasudeva's example. I always see it as even a touch humorous somehow. The way it's not a problem for me to understand that Krishna could be born from Devaki, because that's his habit. He does that. He comes into the womb as Vishnu. He comes into the universal shell. So he's already practiced this sort of appearance within the womb. And then he does it within the whole universe. And then within each universe, he does it again. So I know this about the Lord, this proclivity he has for placing himself within the womb. And so now that he's done it again, this time not in a giant... He hasn't done it this time as Karna Dakshai or Kshira Dakshai Vishnu, but he's done the same thing. So I accept that Vishnu does it in the giant form, and now if he wishes to do it within my wife, that doesn't compromise his position. He's still Krishna doing that same thing. The example is so unusual, comparing the appearance of Vishnu within the universe to the appearance of baby Krishna within Devaki, but it occurs to the mind of Vasudev as a kind of good argument, or it makes him free of any doubt that Krishna can do this, and it's not so wonderful or not so amazing. So we also should not be bewildered by it, but accept the version of the Shastra and become the devotee of Krishna and enter the mystery. Rahasyam etad uttamam.
Jaya Jaya Gora Chande Aroti Kosoka
Jaya Gora Chande Aroti Kosoka
Janavi Tatavane Jagamana Goka Dakin Nitai Chan Bame Gadata Nikate Advaita Srini Vasachat Sadara Thank you. babati yache gorachan ratna simhasane. Arati koren brahma adi deva gane. Banara hari adi kori chamara dulaya. Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Goshadi Gaya. Vashanka Bhaje Ganta Bhaje Bhaji Karata. Madhura Medranga Bhaje Paramarasala. Babahu Koti Chandra Jini Vadana Ujvala. Kala deshe bana mala kori jala mala. Vashiva shuka narada preme gada gada. Akati vinoda deke gaurara sampada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,